Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
One of them ran from war, the other ran to it. That's the title of a paper two young women wrote together in a program at Brandeis University outside Boston. Phenicia Lewis is a graduate of Temple University and an Army veteran who served in Iraq. Wafa Arbash is Syrian. She spent months waking up to bombs outside her family's home before heading to the U.S. for a study abroad program. Now she can't go home because the war has so escalated. The two women met at the Heller School's Coexistence and Conflict Program at Brandeis and decided to share what they discovered about each other. We'll link you at hereandnow.org as they join us in the studio. Welcome, Wafa.
Thank you.
And Phenicia, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Robin.
So how you find each other, we want to get to that. But first, where you came from. Wafa, start with you. We mentioned you were in Syria. 2013, war's breaking out. Mm-hmm. Bombs are falling on your street. Your family's still there.
My family is still there. Everybody I know is still there. So it's just so sad for me being far and see what's happening in my country and then see what the news like are putting stories together and saying about the Syrian people, what's happening to them.
Yeah. Phenicia, you come from a military family, so you graduate Temple University and then go off to Iraq. How did you, two completely different countries, we're talking about Syria and Iraq here, but in Iraq, you are in effect defending the Iraqis. That was the reason we went to war in Iraq, but friend or foe, I mean, what was your experience like in Iraq?
I feel like I always knew that there would be people there, but it didn't click like fully until I actually saw people there. And so this idea of enemy, particularly because we were doing counterinsurgency, gets very unclear. Whatever the enemy was supposed to be, like, you can't see them, and they're not like a conventional army. They're not wearing a uniform, and then there's people who live in what is considered our combat zone. And so there was a lot of fogginess that made it very difficult to understand.
You write about how you had to learn about artillery. And then you started having a recurring dream about a missile coming at you?
Yeah. It just left a mark on my mind because it hits and the round hits the ground and there's a lot of like dirt that splatters and it's really loud and it's really traumatic to just see it happen. And I think that that's why the dream was so real for me, because I realized that at some point those rounds were going to hit people's homes.
Hit somebody's home. And here you meet someone, you know, rounds almost hit her home. I mean, she knew the sound of incoming. Mm-hmm. Is that something you've shared?
Well, yeah. And when I was writing our article and when she was telling me about the feelings that she felt when she heard the round and she didn't know where her family was, that dream, like, came back to me. And also, like, the impact, like feeling the impact of the round hitting, like, you know, hundreds of miles away, but like still feeling it shake the ground that I was standing on, like really like connected, because she's my friend. And like the idea that my friend had experienced something like that was a little overwhelming.
Yeah. And Wafa, I understand that you both, because of your experience, have feelings about fireworks, for instance.
I just cannot like hear like fireworks, even though if I can see it in my eyes and I see people are enjoying this sound that people here in the U.S. are enjoying is the same sound in Syria where people are being killed.
Where else do you see your stories intersecting? Wafa, you left a country that was devolving into civil war. Phenicia, you went with U.S. forces and allies to a country that would soon devolve, you know, because of war. Where else do you make connections between your lives?
Just the way that politicians talk about war airstrikes. And I think that a lot of times it's done for political reasons, but we're both very conscious that there's people's lives on the other end of that discourse. And we've both seen it in our own lives and in the lives of the people around us.
So when you hear a candidate say, we're just going to carpet bomb Syria, Wafa?
When everybody says that, I just feel like seriously, like this is not a solution. Like destroying other people's life, that's going to make more violence. People will, their reaction is going to be more violent, more than today.
When politicians say things like that, they also don't recognize that they're usually asking service members to conduct those actions, and they're going to live with that for the rest of their lives.
Just I want to add one more thing about that. When any politician will say, like, oh, let's bomb Syria, I know there are many people are following those people and believe in them. So that's changing all these people's attitude, and those people are spreading their idea among their relatives or friend or family or whatever. And all this, like, bringing so negative impacts about the people from this country. And so then the stereotyping comes in, and then people getting like very afraid and worried that, oh, you're from Syria. Oh, maybe you're like terrorist. Oh, what's your link between ISIS and Syria? Like we need to be more awareness and more conscious about what these politicians are talking and who's following them. And like just think deeply about what they are saying.
Well, I was struck when you wrote, Fanisha, that when you first for this master's class were asked to interview Wafa and tell her story, you thought, well, that'll be easy. Do I read that correctly, that inflection?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Because we're friends and because we talk all the time. So I was like, oh, well, I can just, you know, it shouldn't be that difficult. But then the more I thought about it, the more I realized Wafa is the best person to tell her story, because I had the opportunity to give her the space to tell her story. I felt like she would be the best person to tell it, and she should be the person to do so.
Well, that's why you ended up writing this together. But also, what did you find out that maybe as a veteran who, as you described yourself, as veterans who go to Iraq, had a more dispassionate look? You were on a mission. You weren't thinking that much about the people, although we should say there's beautiful photos of you with little kids in Iraq and everything. But what was it that you discovered that maybe you didn't know as somebody who was on a mission as opposed to on the other side of war?
It really was that there are people who live in these spaces. A combat zone is a nice, neat word, but like Wafa was saying earlier, there's people in that space, and those people have jobs and they have families and they're trying to do the best to raise their children. And so us being in that space really changes the dynamic of their society. And there's kids who are going to grow up in these areas and forever like live with the trauma of having grown up in a war zone.
And Wafa, you're shaking your head yes. But what is it that you discovered as you guys wrote this piece together now? What did you learn maybe about Fanisha that you didn't know?
We started and like for like weeks, like on every day, like we're staying awake till 2 because like there's so much to write. Like this article, like we cut from it so much, but it's everything's like I'm all the time in my tears because like we have so much in common, and even like our experience is very different. For me personally, I never thought like, oh, being like from the army perspective, they do care about human. And when Fanisha was telling me all this story, I was like, whoa, like now I understand like how people might be like affected in their decision without knowing what the aspects from this decision.
That she was affected by things she was asked to do in war.
Yes. Yeah. And like right now, like if Fanisha would ask her, like, would you go again? Like, I bet she would not go. But I mean,
Wait, well, what do you say, Fanisha?
I don't think I would. There's like always that part of me that's about fulfilling a mission. But with that being said, war is not simple, and it's we try to make rules to appropriately conduct chaos. I don't want it to sound like I'm faulting anyone who goes to war, because that's not what I'm saying. I am, again, from a family of military personnel. My brother actually is deployed twice, but I think we need to like not walk into that really lightly, and I don't personally, I would prefer not to go again. Mm. But I do want to say that one thing that I got out of being in the Army is that there needs to be more people in that space who are thoughtful about the decisions that are made.
Fanisha Lewis is a U.S. Army vet who served in Iraq. Wafa Arbash is a Syrian who came to school in the United States and stayed because the conflict at home made it impossible for her to go back. They both met at Brandeis University and are sharing their stories on the program's website. We'll link you at herenow.org. Fanisha, Wafa, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Robin.
Oh, thank you for having us.